gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 52 for New Comic Book Day, April 19th, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, welcome back to Superpowers, man.
Hey, how you doing, man? We had a... Not all the stuff happened that we thought would for this week, but we got enough stuff, and plus, I seen Teen Titans U's contract.
Oh, yeah, that you're going to give us that non-spoiler review, right?
Yes, no spoilers. There's some things I was reading up on other stuff and what they said for a non-spoiler review, which I thought was a spoiler. So, guys, I'm just going to give you a rundown of my thoughts, and now you're going to tell you all the detail.
Yeah, we'll keep that quick, because I believe next week, the DVD Blu-ray of that actually comes out this week. So next week, we're going to do the full-on spoiler review. So watch it if you can.
Yes, definitely. I think you guys will enjoy it. It's a little different from the comic book, but still not a bad adaptation.
Yeah. As you can tell, you guys just downloaded off the podcast feed that we're a little bit late this week. But the holiday weekend kind of messed us up this weekend.
Yeah, when you got a holiday like Easter or Christmas, you got to be backed up a little bit. But hey, if Flash and all other CW shows can take a month break, what's wrong with us doing a little couple days back?
That's right. But you still have us before the new comic book day, so you can get all your previews for this week coming up. But there's really not a whole lot of news other than the CW actually put out in all the other series. We're right at the season finale time. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, so we have actually the information of who's actually coming around for the season finales.
Yeah, we're going to get some people coming out of the gutter here. We didn't think we would see some of these guys back, and some of them just make sense.
That's right. We have some Young Justice news, actually. A little bit of news from Armie Hammer has some Green Lantern news, kind of, sort of.
Something. He was putting something to rest.
Yeah. And we have some Aquaman film news. Other than that, we still have your regular reviews for the week and your previews for next week. So before too long, let's go ahead and, Vernon, why don't you get into the first news? We got all the season finales coming up, and who's going to be in them?
Yeah, now we did just finish up with Legends of Tomorrow season finale. They have this in the article, but since we already did our cover of that, we don't really need to tell you who's coming back.
Is there anything new in there?
No, just really what we knew, how they're talking about they were going to take down the Legion of Doom. There really wasn't any returns, they said, that was even happening for this episode, so we're done with that. But the ones that was catching my eye, I'm pretty sure going to get your guys' interest, is for Supergirl and Arrow. These are the main comebacks.
There's some big names coming back as Supergirl.
Yeah, I think we were wondering about this early on in the season for Supergirl, if Tyler Hoechlin would be coming back for Superman. Well, he is. We didn't know if he's going to be back for season 3 or the end of this one, but he's coming back for the last two episodes, and so is Cat Grant. Now, we don't really know what Cat's purpose is to come back on the show, probably just to save face and say, hey, we miss you, Cat. And it's funny because I'm reading the reviews on this page for this article. People are saying, man, I'm missing Cat. I'm getting tired of Snapper Carr. Now, if you remember, before Cat Grant had her new friendship with Carr, people didn't want her on the show. So,
yeah.
Funny how things turned around there. But we don't know why she's coming back, but we know she's went on her Vancouver and Los Angeles promotion, and she flew out and did what she had to do. She may go back, but for now, she's coming back to National City. Now, as far as Superman coming back, we don't know. There's very little detail why he is going to be back for the last two episodes. Speculation is probably to take down the Daxamite Queen. She might be a little too much to handle for Kara, so she's going to need help from her cousin. And who else better to help you save the world than Superman? That's really all we have for Supergirl. But I think Arrow's gets a little darker and deeper. Of course, it is Arrow.
Yeah. I think we knew the first one here coming back to Arrow. We know about this one.
Mm-hmm. Kay Cassidy, of course, is going to be back for a season 5 finale, and we all knew she was going to be back as Black Siren, not Black Canary. They have their own new Black Canary. Now, it is going to be nice to see them cross paths. Hopefully we can get a little fight scene in there between the two canary screams. But actor Stephen Amell did put on his Twitter that...
Yeah, this one I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you hear Deathstroke's name being brought up, everyone gets excited. But Manu Bennett is coming back now for Slade Wilson, Deathstroke character. He's been in the series for multiple seasons, but he usually comes back for a season finale. And this one is one of the bigger season finales. Now, once again, we're going to do the same thing that they were thinking about with Supergirl. To take down the main villain of the show, they might need help. So he's going to need some help probably from Deathstroke to come back. Now, we don't know if they can put their... differences to the side for at least a well time being. Maybe he wants to kill him afterwards, but for now, I'm pretty sure he's going to come back and help take down Prometheus. With Ollie and him taking him, and with the team of the, or the Arrow team, I'm pretty sure they got this one wrapped in the bag after we saw Prometheus breaking out of jail. Or he didn't really break out of jail, he kind of just broke out of protective custody, leading him toward jail. So he's probably got an all out manhunt for him, and who else better to take up a contract to somebody than Deathstroke?
That's right.
And next year, this is the last one for the show that's returning. I am so happy to see both sisters on the show now. Nessa Al Ghul will be returning for the season finale. And as we've seen, she was, to me, the sister with the straight head on. She didn't care what her father was going to do. If it was bad, she knew it was bad. If it was good, she would follow him. But instead, he was got a little psycho crazy and wanted to rule some things he probably shouldn't have. So, as we know, Talia is the daughter that was always by her father's side. Whatever he did was word. She followed him to the deepest darks of where he, wherever he wanted to be. This is why she wanted Prometheus to kill Ollie. So, with Nessa being here, I'm pretty sure they're going to go toe-to-toe helping Ollie and the other one trying to kill Ollie. So, this is going to be a pretty good season finale here for Arrow. That was really it. There was like I said, some talk about Flash, but not really too much. Just, literally, they're giving out nothing except for what we already know. He's still going to try to save Iris by the end of it. There's also Gotham comebacks here, but we kind of already knew they were in the show. So
just well, the one with Gotham was what the one they're talking about here that they want to bring in sounds interesting. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it. Like they said in the article, they want to bring in Harley Quinn at some point.
But how?
Yeah. Well, the way they said here is that actually, if you go with time wise, because she's already a psychologist and a psychiatrist when she meets the Joker for the first time. Mm-hmm. So when he's Batman, she's a psychiatrist. Well, there's a chance she could be. This here says she at this point would probably be like a promising medical student, and we would probably meet Harleen Quinzel, not Harley Quinn.
Right.
With no idea that she's going to go crazy later.
Right. Which to me would make sense. I mean, technically, we didn't see Joker be Joker, and he's still not really Joker yet. He's given a hint to what he's going to be, but we know he's Joker, but he's not a full-fledged Joker yet. Saying it's Poison Ivy, still isn't Poison Ivy, and for everyone else really on the show.
Yeah.
He's the main character.
Now, Gotham, does that come back this week or next week?
For episode 22, it doesn't say.
Well, no, not episode 22. I'm talking actually just their return. I believe it's this week. As much as they're talking about it, I can look that up while we're still talking here.
Go ahead. I can cover the Flash a little bit of what they were saying on here. Now, on the Flash, we all know that Barry's going to go into the past, or I'm sorry, go into the future for the next episode, figure out how he can save Candace Patton, which is being played as Iris West. But also, we don't know if he's going to figure out who Savitar is by the next episode or season finale. Hopefully, we get some more hints that we can figure out who he really is. And also, this is the only main villain of each series that actually haven't gave away too many hints of who the main villain really is. So maybe we'll find out by the next episode, but we will definitely know by the season finale.
Yeah. Looks like it's next week. I'm double-checking on one other spot.
And when is The Flash coming back? Is that in 2 weeks?
Flash is, I believe, Flash, Arrow, all of them should be back next week.
Okay, good.
So it's probably everybody waiting for next week.
I've been waiting for this. Once again, Flash is to me the best show out that they have, so this is the one that keeps me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, April 24th is the return of Gotham, so that's all DC shows come back next week.
Okay, good.
It's like the 25th, I think 24th, 25th, 26th is when Supergirl, Arrow, and Flash come back.
Okay.
So next week we're going to have a lot of stuff to cover. Well, no, actually it'll be the week after next.
Okay. I was also saying, since they're reaching their season finale, and we were right with the time slots, like I said, iZombie, Lucifer, these are also shows that are related to DC. Maybe now we can dib and dab more into that since we won't have the other CW shows on.
Possibly. I still have to watch both of those ones for their first seasons.
First season, all of them were good. I can't even just pick and choose.
I'll take even the summer Preacher probably was. And start catching up on that stuff. Preacher I did see.
Okay.
So...
once again, I've seen a couple episodes of Preacher. I haven't finished that like I did the other shows, but from what I've seen, Preacher still isn't as dark as the comic books, but they definitely stick to the main purpose of what the show really means.
Yeah.
So they did good too. I have to watch that. And hey, if I finish that, maybe you finish the other ones, maybe we can just come in and talk about what we liked about the seasons.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, just do season overviews of those ones.
Yeah.
But more TV stuff. There was a tweet that went out from Kerry Payton. Now, if you guys don't know who that is, he plays the voice of Aqualad on Young Justice. And the tweet said, "And we start once more for the Fallen, hashtag Young Justice, hashtag season 3. So that looks like pretty much confirmation that he's back in studio recording for Young Justice. And if he is, that means everybody else is, because all of the rest of the voice cast for the original Young Justice seasons 1 and 2 has returned to do season 2 or season 3. So it looks like they're in production now. They've started recording voices. So, and I'm not sure which direction they go. If they do animation first, then voices for this. But usually they do voices as they're doing the animation already.
Right.
So that means they have it written and they're working on it. And it says that Peyton's not the only one that's coming back. The entire cast is coming back. So Nolan North is Superboy. Jesse McCartney as Dick Grayson. Danica McKellar, which I didn't know she was in this, as McGann Moores. Stephanie Lemlin as Artemis, which means we get Artemis back.
Oh, yeah. We get Artemis now on two shows for right now.
Uh-huh. Jason Spisak is Wally West. And then it's all those are being actually joined by the original production and creative team of Brandon Vietti, who also did Batman Under the Red Hood. And great Greg Weissman from Star Wars Rebels.
And great show.
So this is going to be phenomenal. This is the original people doing Young Justice, and this is an actual season 3. It's not a restart. It's not a reboot. This is season 3 of Young Justice.
See, I love that well, this isn't Cartoon Network, but this was a Cartoon Network property that wind up coming back, not on actual Cartoon Network, but on another franchise.
Yeah.
The thing for me is this is the same way I felt about Samurai Jack. One just came back, and it was on Cartoon Network, and it got canceled, and we're finally getting it in 2017.
Have you seen any of the new one?
Hmm?
Have you seen any of the new Samurai Jack?
Oh, yeah, I'm on episode 4. I think there's, like, 2 more episodes out right this time, so I'm keeping up with pretty good.
Is it still feeling like Samurai Jack, or is it something totally different?
This is literally Samurai Jack. I'm mad it took them so long to bring it back, but, hey, the wait was worth it. It's great. It's a little bit more gruesome than what we had before because it's not on Cartoon Network. It's on Adult Swim. And with Young Justice coming back, I don't know if they're going to be a little bit darker too, because this is going to be on Netflix. Right?
Yes,
now
Netflix.
They can go a little bit of they can make the cartoon a little bit more gritty than what it already was on Cartoon Network.
I don't think
they don't need to, but from what they did on Samurai Jack, they didn't make it more gritty just because. Here's the thing: with Samurai Jack, would get cut on the regular cartoon show. He would get a couple scrapes, and you could see red, but it wasn't really nothing to it. And here, when he gets cut, you see a little bit of more of a blood flow.
Well, so isn't it still on Cartoon Network?
No, it's on Adult Swim. Still on Channel 29.
Well, yeah, that's still Cartoon Network. It's just they put them on Adult Swim. That's all.
I was gonna say, are they different actual networks?
No. It's still Cartoon Network. It's just their adult programming.
Okay. It just feels like a different tone just because of that. But nothing changes with the story. The characters are the exact same. They just added the gore factor to it. It's not even that big of a deal.
As the phone rings.
It happens. See, that's why I put mine on vibrate.
Yeah.
But I feel like Young Justice can go a little bit deeper now if they want to. So we'll see. And this may be the exact same thing that we're used to seeing, which I hope so. Just add a little bit of a, not adult tone, but add more of a teenage tone to it. Because you could tell it was there for the Cartoon Network, but I don't think they could go all out like they wanted to. I want more of a feel of like what I seen in the Teen Titans Judas Contract, which we'll get into a little bit later on the show.
Yeah. So then next up, you actually had the story of Armie Hammer in the news with some Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah, he finally put all the rumors to rest. this was nothing but rumors. He was just trolling.
Yeah, he's been messing with people for a long time, it looks, sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the people saying, you know what, he could be trolling us, but then again, he could actually be Green Lantern. But from what he's saying, he is in no talks with DC, as at least for now. You never know what could change in the future. This is going to take place in 2020. So from now to then, who knows? But as what he was saying in this article, it's been more increasing of his role of Green Lantern, despite never actually playing Green Lantern. For months, he has been scattered and the universe of rumors of Armie Hammer being in the DC Extended Universe as Hal Jordan, and his name has consistently been battered around with the fans imagining their ideal character of Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, for the Justice League film series. Hammer decided to lean into the rumors and social media buzz, trolling fans with the social media comments implying he may be playing Hal Jordan. But speaking to Collider, Hammer admits that it was nothing but fun and games, and now he is backing out because he has fear of social media backlash. I quote what he said is, "Man, geez, it was fun for a while, and now I'm convinced that everyone's going to hate me. They're going to turn on me, so I'm like, oh, slowly backing away," Hammer joked. Despite all these rumors, he's been popping up and leaking photos of Green Lantern and the actor's shortlist that include the Green Lantern of Ryan Reynolds. Hammer also says there is no official talk with Warner Brother for him playing the role of Green Lantern. So he laid the rumors to rest. They were nothing but rumors. He trolled us. Shame on you, Hammer. You cannot do that to DC fans. You did that for too long. So
yeah.
I'm glad he backed out when he did. Maybe if he wants to play another DC film series, then we won't hate him. So he got out, I think, just in time.
Yeah. Well, there's still still a lot of rumors and speculation on whether or not we may actually see Green Lantern in the Justice League movie. Even just a little cameo. No one knows for sure.
Right. They don't even have to say this was Hal Jordan. You know, you have his jacket on maybe, and we're like, oh, wow, there is Hal. But we have no idea who's going to play that yet.
Yeah. So there's actually... I missed this. Is there actually a poster out for the Justice League movie that I missed?
Oh, yeah. They put out a new one. I think I want to say last weekend or maybe early Monday.
I'm looking for it now.
Last week.
Oh, wait. Okay. Is it the one that just says Unite the League? No, that's a picture.
Yeah, it's nothing really spectacular.
Okay.
It's just a new poster.
Yeah,
it's one
these
of those things I feel like they're
blew up. So I had seen one that was that I thought it said Alex Ross was doing something for a poster, but none of these look like Alex Ross. So I'll have to look that up later. That's all.
Okay. But yeah, the poster still looks good. It's really just them looking like the League. And once again, they're still focusing on Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman. No mention of Superman and no mention of Green Lantern.
Okay. Well, we know Superman's going to be in it. We just don't know when. It's probably going to be at the very end.
I really think so, too. It's like, oh, man, guys, we're at the end of our route here. We might die. Here comes Superman saving the day.
Yeah.
Which he usually does when it comes to Justice League. He is their last resort weapon, they usually call him. He's the Big Blue.
Exactly.
So,
and then one other major news story we got for this week was Dolph Lundgren is now playing a different character in the DC Universe. Because we already see that he's an Arrow.
I was going to ask, isn't he correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't he the only actor from the actual film series and the TV series to actually be on both of them?
Right now, I believe so, but he's playing a different character, so he's not bringing that back,
right?
His Soviet or his Russian guy. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, so.
I'll say you're seeing a lot in this week's news.
He was Kovar.
You're seeing a lot in this week's news of actors playing in this for the same property, but for different studios.
Yeah.
There was another article of another character or actor doing that for two different characters onto the same rights, and now we're having this in DC. So
well, this one,
I think it's just funny this is happening.
Yeah. Well, Dolph Lundgren is actually being going to be on Arrow to play King Nereus on Aquaman. Now, I don't know the
universe.
Character. Yeah, I don't know the character of King Nereus. Do you know King Nereus of Zebel?
Not well enough. I feel like this is a perfect character for Dolph to play because I don't know how much they're going to use him in the movie. They might just throw him in there for a couple scenes, and that's really all we get because for what I do know, he wants in the comic books Mira to be his. He will kill Aquaman just so he can have her as his wife.
That's
which
what
we already
it says
know
here
her heart's
too,
not
yeah.
for him. It's for Arthur. So I don't know if they're going to play up on that in the movie. I have no idea if he's just going to be a king, like a general. I have no clue. But like I said, Dolph Lundgren being here and this character being the way he is, we're probably not going to see him do too much damage.
Hang on. I got a little ads.
Oh, yeah. This is why I just mute my computer now on everything else except for here.
Well, this one here, if you go to Hollywood Reporter, that's who actually has the story, originally broke the story. It says King Nereus is actually, just like you said, he's going to be a love interest for Queen Mara. Or for Mara. He shows up and wants Mara to be his queen.
You know, they could also play this up in a different way. And when we first see this film, since they're not together, I don't think that we know for the film, she could be with him. And something happens, she moves on, who knows?
Yeah, it's a possibility. Some of the other, we already know a lot of the other ones that are in this. But yeah, it says, well, no, it says in this one specifically, the Lundgren will play King Nereus of the aquatic kingdom of Zabel, or however you pronounce it, who claims Mara as his own and wants to kill Aquaman because of this.
Now, is this for the movie or the comic books?
This is for the movie.
Huh. Okay.
You can get the stories over on Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
So, it sounds like it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it does. It but sounds like adding... now he's got two problems in the movie to deal with.
Yeah, they got villains all over the place. We know Ocean Master is going to be in it. Black Manta is going to be in it. This King Nereus is going to be. Are they just trying to throw every villain they could think of in it?
Seems like they are. I hope they don't turn this into like a Spider-Man 3 problem.
or what they did with Green Lantern.
Yeah, that too. They had too many villains in there. We had Sinestro turning, and then we had Parallax, and then we also had
Hammond, wasn't
it? Yeah, I would say Big Brain Guy. so hopefully they don't do that. Didn't we read an article somewhere when they were saying somebody was worried about Aquaman turning into the Green Lantern thing?
I don't remember. You may have read it somewhere. We didn't report on it here.
So I hope not. If they pace themselves, they can throw five different villains in here. I mean, it's possible, but don't have them actually be villains. Just have them be background characters.
Yeah, let it introduce them here, then actually let them be villains in another movie.
Right, build it up. So if they're casting these guys to be in the film, that's fine. Just don't make them the main villain yet, because that's too many villains in the same movie.
So, but that's actually the end of our news stories for this week at the moment. Like we said, you have a review for us.
Yes, now this is the non-spoiler review for Teen Titans Judas Contract, which I enjoyed. I'll give you my full thoughts on this afterwards, but I'm going to give you a quick rundown with no spoilers. Now, Teen Titans Judas Contract is a sequel to last year's Justice League versus Teen Titans. And when I read this before, I could not believe that it's been a whole year since that movie came out.
Yeah.
Now, this is another loose adaptation of the popular comic book storyline, The Judas Contract of the Teen Titans. Now, it's a direct-to-DVD or streaming animated movie. The one thing about this that's different that DC has been going about in the past couple of years, before when they would make an animated movie like the Superman's Doomsday or Superman Elite or The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and Part 2, they were literally pulled straight from the comic book, changed just a couple of things, but really you could read this word for word with the book. Now what they're doing, they're taking that title and they're making it their own with the characters in the universe. This is a big mashup because it's a completely different lineup than what we had in the comic books. Your main characters in here were Robin, Damian Wayne, Raven, Beast Boy, Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, Starfire, and Nightwing, with a new edition of Terror portrayed by Christina Ricci. Now, this cast was really great. I did love the team. As I said, this wasn't the normal thing that they would do, but they mixed it up. With all this, they have Brother Blood and Deathstroke that are the main antagonists.
Now, did they get the characters right?
You mean like the
Personalities and stuff of the characters?
Yeah, they did. The sad thing about this was Brother Blood and Deathstroke, which Deathstroke is being portrayed by the late Miguel Ferreira. He passed away, I want to say, earlier this year. It might have been last year, but in this time span, he used to play NCIS, and this was now his last role as Deathstroke, sadly.
Okay.
I love his voice work, but he kind of always felt like just a villain that was thrown in there, because Deathstroke had more of a you like Deathstroke a little more than what they always portray now in these last movies. He's more of just being the villain, which he was in the comic books, but fans took to him a little bit better, and here he's kind of just bland. Same for Brother Blood. He's just going to be one of those villains that here to be a villain for the sake of being evil. There's really not too much motivation for why he wants to do this, and they don't really touch on that in the movie. But along with all this, the film also focuses on a great deal of the Titans' personalities, which was really good, and the struggles they have with Nightwing moving forward with his relationship with Starfire, which I thought was really cool. Blue Beetle has some struggles with his family. He's got some problems there with his father, really, and how the Beetle's taking him away from being who he really is, a human, and being a son toward his mother and father. Terra's struggling with just her demons, and we always known that. In the Titans animated series, she was working for Deathstroke, so that's not really a spoiler there. But she was always a double agent, but she always still loved the Titans and loved them like family, but she always had to remember she's still working for Deathstroke. So we got, I think that was probably the biggest and best thing about this movie was Terra. Terra really brought the life toward this film. But with all this being said, the faithful adaptation of The Jewish Contract was a little different, but still good. It has an 80-minute runtime. And the other thing about this movie was Nightwing and Starfire's relationship moving forward with everything. They're basically like the mother and father of the Teen Titans. And we do, by the end of the movie, we get a cameo from a character that has not ever been shown in any DC film media, TV media, except for, I want to say, the 60s or 70s was the only time she was being shown. I'm not going to say who it was because it was a big surprise. But I was really happy to finally see her come back to the big screen or small screen.
Cool.
There's hope. But yeah, with all this, you have Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne having like probably the best dynamic of the movie together.
Do they pull off a brother's relationship?
Yeah, always do. That's why I was thinking this was perfect. And it's funny because in some parts you hear Damian being the adult for certain situations while Dick is being just a mentor, but Damian still has that, this is logical perspective. Why aren't you thinking logical? You're the leader. Nice. I'm not going to spoil too much, but in here we do see Nightwing isn't the actual leader of the Titans. Starfire is, but since he was the original leader, Starfire has no problem with listening to him for help. And once again, I'm going to touch on the Terra character. There is a character dynamic between her and Slade Wilson that I didn't think we were going to see in any form of media except for the comic books. We all know how that got a little eerie and creepy with their relationship, with her being a teenager and him being an older gentleman. They kind of touch on that in here. Very, very, it's dark. It was just dark. I'm not going to spoil too much, but I didn't think they were going to go that far with it.
Lot of that next week when we watch it or when we talk about it.
Right, this was a PG-13 movie. This is not for your kids to watch. This is for like a 12-year-old or teenager to go see. I did like that they actually kept the Teen Titans concept, the Teen Titans. But once again, Christina Ricci is the one that really captured Terra's soul in this movie and really brought this movie to life. Without her, I feel like the movie would have just been a bland animated film DC just threw out there. But because of her, she brought a lot of that to the screen. The only problem I had with this movie, I felt like it should have been two movies. This was just an hour and, about an hour and 20 minutes film, so we didn't really get to see too much of too many things that we really wanted. They should have did the Batman, the Dark Knight route and split it up. There was a lot of things in here that they took away from adding so much in so little time with Beast Boy, Blue Beetle. Raven was really good with Terra. They had a little back and forth friendship, butting head thing. I wish that could have been a little longer, and I wish we could have seen more of Dick and Starfire's relationship, except it's just really smashed into one. They really did focus just on Deathstroke and Terra. Brother Blood, even after a while, which bothered me. You forgot he was the main villain. They focused so much on Deathstroke, you till the end, you were like, oh yeah, there is another guy here that I forgot all about. They hadn't been shown him for about 50 minutes of the film. So next time we have, I think, a comic book adaptation like this, if they're going to mix in things from the past of the comic book and then also add in so much of the new story, split into two different movies. That's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
I did enjoy this a lot better than the last DC animated film, which was Justice League Dark, which I said in the review, I did not like it. This was not just like the comic books, but it was really good with their own creation, their own adaptation of it. I would give this a 6. I want to give it between a 6 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10. I don't really know yet. Maybe once I rewatch it, I'll know for sure. But for now, it's between there. Maybe a 6.5.
Okay. Well, we'll let you guys know more next week when I actually get a chance to watch it too, and we'll spoil all those stuff that he said that we're going to wait for. So, but that actually brings us to our comic reviews for this week. And there really wasn't a whole lot going on. I mean, we had the issues all come out, but nothing that was super huge. A couple things, starting off new stories, wrapping up a couple old stories, but nothing world-shaking yet because the big story starts next week in Batman right. and Flash.
Right. And even we got another comic book coming up of what's going on with Emerald Empress with Supergirl. We maybe might get to know what happened to Saturn Girl.
Well, that was a tie-in. Yeah, that's a tie-in with that's a tie-in with the end of Superman Rebirth, because Superman's in that book, too. That's for next week.
Right. I would say the main two books we're covering this week was the beginning to a new story and the end of another story arc.
Yes.
So, but both really good and both really catching the eye right here.
Oh, yeah. You want to start with Batman or Superman?
I'll start with Batman.
Okay.
And when I was reading over this at work, I didn't read any of the little thought bubbles. I just read the main story. And I read all this today and put it together, and this is really good. Now, this is the last part of I Am Bane Part 5. It's the ending for the saga. Next, we're going to go into the button problem that Batman and Flash were finding out in Rebirth. But for now, this is the end. You have Batman and Bane in Arkham Asylum, and this is Day 5. Once again, they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, bloodying each other up. But the main part of this story is really the thought bubbles that Batman's having in his head.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys recall, in the beginning of Rebirth for Batman's story, he was trying to save Gotham Air. It was a plane that was heading to the sea, but this is when Gotham and Gotham Girl came in to help them. They're the ones we thought were being another version, or Superman and Supergirl in a costume, because they literally have the same powers, which they still haven't touched on too much. I want them to go in a little bit deeper with that. But anyways, he was trying to save the plane, and with Batman being Batman, he always has to scout out every single possible outcome. His power isn't him having the mental intellect to be smart in every way. His power is he sees other things other people don't pay attention to. So he knew if he got on this plane, it would be the death of him. There was no way of him surviving this, but he saw something that no one else would predict. Now we're going back to him being Arkham, and this is when he's looking up at Bane, and he tells Bane, so many people said every night for years, over the decades, they're going to kill me, I'm going to be the last person, or they're going to be the last person I see, the last face I see, it's time to die, Batman. It's funny how all of them say, I'm going to die at their hands, but yet I'm still here. Because Bane's telling him I'm going to kill him, and he says every damn night someone tells me that same thing. And then they start fighting again. And this is when we go back to his thought process. He remembers seeing Gotham and Gotham Girl in the sky. He saw a possibility that could help him. He doesn't have to die on that plane. They can save it, which they did. Which proved to him Gotham can be in good hands. Because you got to think about this. He has no powers. He understands that Gotham is his problem to protect. And he has
responsibility.
His responsibilities. I say a problem because it's Gotham. It's a little worse than the other cities in the DC Universe. But he has people and family to help him, like Nightwing, Batwoman, Duke, the Robins, Batgirl. He has all these other family members to help him, even Alfred. But after a while, they're only human. They can only do so much. He needs somebody with more extraordinary powers like the Justice League. That's what he saw in Gotham Girl and Gotham. But Gotham took a little bit of a bad turn, and his possibility for somebody helping save the city once he's dead kind of started to fall. But the thing was, there was still one more person that he could count on, which was Gotham Girl. But the only way to save her was by the help of Psycho Pirate. And now we return back to Bane and him fighting, and once again, they're just throwing blows at each other. And Bane starts to threaten him, which I think gives Batman more courage to fight back. He tells him, after I kill you, I'm killing the butler, I'm killing Gotham Girl, Catwoman, Commissioner Gordon, the Tiger, the boy, all the Robins once I find out where they are. And this time when I hang them, I'm going to give them a little extra pull to really break their necks. And next panel is Batman going back in his head. And now from this panel, guys, I didn't really understand till here. It seems like he was talking to somebody. It wasn't Batman's thought process. This is when he's saying she saw... he saw that she was the new protector of Gotham, but she needed help with Psycho Pirate. So instead of hiring his league or asking his league of friends to help him, he got prisoners out of jail, which was the Ventriloquist, Bronze Tiger, Catwoman. They don't say their names in here. I forget, but it was the... Do you remember their names? They were like the Jesters. They had to me, they look like another version of what Harley Quinn and Joker might be in a different world.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
If you do find out, let us know. But he broke all these prisoners out of Arkham.
Let me, I can look it up on Comic Vine.
Okay. He broke all these villains out of Arkham because he really created his own Suicide Squad. He didn't want his Justice League team members to do this because they would just tell him, no, this is wrong. But with Batman being who he is, he needs people on his level, people that he's put in Arkham to help him. And he went through all this abuse with Bane for him to break him all over again just so he could save Gotham Girl and so Psycho Pirate could help her. But there was a problem. Batman knew Bane was coming back to Gotham to kill all of them, really just destroy Gotham Girl, because he knew she was the reason why he came out there. And he's now blocking the way to Gotham Girl. He's in the doorway. Bane's getting ready to kill her, but Batman stops him. And he tells him, Gotham will burn after I kill you and everyone else. And as I'm burning Gotham, I'm going to stand on your gargoyles, and the city's going to look up at me, waiting for Batman to come, waiting for your signal, but he won't because he'll be in the ground dead. And he's just beating Batman up, and as he's talking to Batman, you see the I Am Bane that he spray painted or just rolling the blood of the other Robins. And then him and Batman just start throwing blows again. All he can think about is all the pain that Bane's caused his family. Not him, but his friends and family. And then this is when we hear the voice bubble saying, you knew he would follow you. You knew Bane would come back. You were prepared, but you just wanted to save Gotham Girl. The thing that you were most focused on was saving her. You knew everyone else would be okay, but Gotham Girl is your true future. And once again, you put your life in stake here. It was your death coming fast. Ever since you stood in the blood of your own blood, your mouth, I'm sorry, from your the blood from your mouth, from your nose, everything, your rib was bent back into your lung. You were reaching for that last breath of air, but you remembered the one promise you made with the blade in your hand and your knees in the puddle of blood. You made a promise to your mother and father to save everyone in Gotham and be the vengeance that they needed. And at this point, Batman's on the ground while Bane's standing over him saying, don't you know who I am? I am Bane. You finally know who I am. I'm the guy that's basically going to break you and put you down for good this time. You finally know who I am. And then this is when Batman starts to get up, and you hear this voice in his head saying, Bruce, you reached for me. You reached for me as I reached for you. I held you as you wept. I covered your face with my hands. I wept for you as you wept for me. For the first time since you were 10 years old, you were safe. And then this is when Bane gets in his face and tells Batman, I am Bane. Batman's eyes start to open up, and he says, yeah, I know, you're Bane, but I think you forgot who I am. I'm Batman. And he gives him a headbutt, and they both fall to the ground. And that's the end of the fight for Bane and Batman. Batman once again beats Bane. And Bane's laying in a pile of his own blood, a pool of his own blood right now. Batman is too, but Bane's is a lot worse. But Batman starts to get up, and he hears this voice saying to him, you believe everything that you've done, all the momentum that you have for yourself. Bane finally knows that he can't win. He finally understands that when you fall, you fall. And when you need to fall, you fall. You are never done, though. The war has to be won. The girl was yours to win. And you did all this for her. The suffering, for all the bruises on your body, the possibility of... And this, he cuts this off and says no. We go to a panel of this whole time he was spiritually, mentally talking to his dead mother. She's the one that has been guiding him throughout this whole book. Not his father, but his mother with Bane. Because Bane lost his mom to Batman. This was the thing that he was focused on to keep him alive. Just when he thought Batman was dead, he wakes up and sees his mom. And there it looked like they're in Wayne Manor sitting on a couch. And she's holding him as he did when he was a kid. But he tells her, no, mom, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. That's not right. This is Bane. And I've suffered so much from him. I didn't have to do a thing for war, for victory, for dying on the plane. Not even for you or father. And she says, Bruce, he says, the girl needed my help. That's all I did this for was help. Not the future, not to save Gotham, just to save her. When if someone needs help, he's going to help them. And this is when she said, just like, she says, Bruce Thomas Wayne, like my little boy all grown up, you don't need to have a good death to know that I am proud of you. And this is the last words of the book. Yes, mother, I know. So Batman was not doing this all to prevent the to save Gotham. He was doing this just because he wanted to save the life of somebody that needed help. He wasn't trying to, you know, Batman, he always is a step ahead. He wants to, when he dies, someone needs to take over. If there's some type of countermeasurement, he's going to find that. And here,
all this fighting he was doing for Bane was just to save one person that he loved, and that was Gotham Girl. She is another part of the Bat family, and he did so.
Exactly.
So that was the end of Batman issue number 20, I Am Bane, finale part 5.
And then we get over to the opposite. We get, Batman was real dark and bloody, and then we get to the other side. We get Superman number 20, and it's all bright and cheery, like Superman usually is.
Yep, they're literally the two sides of the same coin, I always like to say.
So I had forgotten, did Jonathan's friend Kathy, she knows about his powers, right?
Right.
That's what I thought, because you find in the beginning of this, we're in Hamilton County, and Jonathan's messing around in the cornfield, jumping, trying to fly, and crashes to the ground. And that's when Kathy rolls by and says, "Hey, John, I finished my chores. You want to go play?" And John's like, "Sure. You want to race?"
I had a question for you, Ken, before you go too much farther. When I read this, all I could think about was Lana and Clark when they were kids.
It's a very similar dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Glad I'm not the only one that thinks that.
So this is Superman's Black Dawn storyline, part one. And this gets a little weird and something that I didn't know was going to happen when they first started this. When we first met Kathy and her grandfather, I didn't know there was going to be something strange in here.
I didn't know that what they were really going to do here with her grandpa, but something bad I had, just a feeling I had, something bad about him. He gave off, like, the wrong mojo. But we'll get a little bit more on that as you're going by here. But something was up with that old dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, the beginning of this story is basically showing Superman flying over and everybody looking up at him in the sky. Then they just show just regular them living their lives on the farm. Superman fixing the tractor, he picks it up over his head, obviously, to get underneath it. It shows Jonathan and Kathy and Crypto out in the field playing with the football. Superman's using his telescopic vision, sees Lois taking the trash down to the curb. He says, this is just beautiful. And now, finally, remember, after Superman Rebirth, they're able to actually use the name Kent again. Now, so their mailbox now says, Mr. and Mrs. C. Kent. And Lois gets the mail and sees she's getting a bunch of mail for Lois Lane, or Lois Lane Kent. And it brings tears to her eyes. She's actually able to be who she's supposed to be. But as she does that, Mr. Cobb, Kathy's grandfather, comes by and tells her, evening, the radio says there's a storm on the way. Well, that and my arthritis. So he says, I'd appreciate if you send my granddaughter home. And then it's probably best that you guys get inside too. So she thanks him and no problem. Then the Kents end up going down into the basement while the storm is going on. And they're just talking back and forth about music, shooting pool, and Clark brings up the movie The Hustler. And Jonathan's like, well, can we watch that movie? And they're like, no, you cannot see this movie yet. But Jonathan can't understand why in the world are they hiding in the basement. Superman and Jonathan can't get hurt by a storm. But he doesn't understand it, but they're like, you know what? As a family, this is the type of stuff you do.
And in this panel here, is that a He-Man toy?
Which panel?
As he's looking into the sky for the storm.
That looks a lot like He-Man, yes. And He-Man is a DC Comics property, so.
Right, I'm thinking that's a little Easter egg they threw in there.
Yeah, no, that does look like it. Well, after the storm is done, Jonathan is sitting looking out the window in his room, and everybody tells him lights out. And as he does that, you see the thunder or lightning out the window. Then you see Jonathan looking out the window, and they show a bat eating a bug. And then he sees the door downstairs open. He says, not again. Then he says, not again, and actually grabs his super, because he saw the shadow of his dad in the cape being put out on the lawn from the light. Then he grabs his Superboy coat and says, oh, no, not again. You're not doing this again. And Superman goes to the barn and finds, Batman and Damian chilling in the barn.
Akin to the bat we saw.
Yes. So, Batman says, I'm here to talk. And Superman says, well, what is this all about? He says, Superboy. At which point, Superboy was actually standing outside the barn listening in. Lois sneaks up on him and says, ha-ha, gotcha. Well, it's freezing in the barn. Why don't you guys come in? This is Hamilton, not Gotham. Come inside. So now you have Superman, Batman, Robin, Superboy, and Crypto all in costumes sitting around the table to talk like normal people.
Like normal people.
Yeah. Now, Superboy is whispering to Robin saying, why are you guys here? Do you think your dad found out about us and Damian shoves pie in Jonathan's face and says, delicious pie, Mrs. Kent, so that no one could hear what he's about to say. So, and then Lois admonishes Damian for shoving the pie in Robin's face. Says, hey, I may not have super hearing, but I can see still.
She says she has eyes in the back of her head because, you know, she is a mother.
Exactly. So he says, well, they say if you boys are done eating, let's leave the fathers to talk. Then the test that Batman ran on John came back inconclusive. So he asks, has he developed any new abilities? And he says, no. So it's like, and the things that they thought might be problems or be wrong with John, they're not finding anything yet. So they say, and Batman says there's nothing biologically wrong with him. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's very healthy. He's almost too healthy. According to his genetic sequencing, the molecular structure and power centers should have completed their transitions by now. Yet, as you say, there's no changes. And Batman points out that at his core, he believes John, as a human Kryptonian hybrid, should be even more powerful than Clark is on his best day.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, well, his power should be off the charts by now, but it's not happening.
Something weird about that.
Exactly. Well, they're saying, well, the problem may not be environmental. It may actually be emotional. And then Superman obviously gets all upset about this and says, what do you mean that the emotional? There's nothing wrong with him. So, and as they're arguing, and Batman's talking about how, Superman points out, well, maybe he hasn't done it yet. There's not a worst case scenario here. You're always looking at the worst case scenario. Batman says, well, it's easy to be optimistic when you're tucked away out here, but there is darkness in the world. So it's the same old argument that they always have back and forth. Superman points out that that's why we need to be the bright light in the world, because there's so much darkness.
Right. And I was also going to say, with all this whole comic books that's been going on, don't forget about the milk.
Well, that's where I'm getting next. Next question is, Batman, is what do you feed him? Did it just say normal food? There isn't even much fast food around here. Most are organic grocery store items, dairy protein and produce. John's friend Kathy even delivers fresh milk. So Batman's like, wait a minute, tell me about the dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then after dark, Batman and Robin have left. And then Clark tells him straight up, well, I know they're gone because I can't even hear Bruce's heartbeat. And here Bruce goes to the dairy farm, goes to the Cobb's farm, and starts looking around a little. And he goes into the barn and looks, and it's he says, I just need a fresh test sample. So he pulls a little bit of milk from the cow, and then as he's checking it, something's not right, and the milk jug kind of explodes with this black goo that starts almost like attacking Batman. It starts covering him up. And then someone out of nowhere says, don't worry yourself, Bessie. Well, we'll put him with the others. He won't hurt you anymore, I promise. And Batman says, who are, and there's nothing else he can say.
He got covered up by all that black goo.
Exactly. There's something wrong with the cows in Mr. Cobb's barn. And the next issue is called Powerless. And that's Superman for issue number 20.
So that's the beginning of a tale now. We need to figure out what the heck kind of milk are they feeding Jonathan.
Maybe that's what's keeping him from being able to actually use his powers the rest of the way.
And since they said powerless, I'm suspecting he won't be able to use them for a while.
That's what I'm thinking too. But that brings us to one final section of our show.
Yes.
We need to make a weekly trip. And that song means we've made it to the Comic Shop pull list for this week. Remember, the Comic Shop pull list, this is for week of April 12th, 2017. Or wait a minute, no, it's not. That's wrong. It's April 19th, 2017. So we'll have to talk to our secretaries and the people that put together this list.
Yeah.
But we have the new comic book day, April 19th, 2017. And remember, the Comic Shop pull list is always brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook. Let them know DC Superpower sent you. And you can also get them at Shazbots.com. Now, we have 14 books coming out next week.
Yeah, we got a pretty healthy amount here. Not all of them are $2.99.
Exactly. Well, we noticed this past week that all your monthly titles have gone up by a dollar. They're $3.99 now. But you do get a digital copy with those.
Yes, you do.
So
there's a benefit.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a benefit that is, but hey, All your bi-monthly titles, the ones you're getting twice a month, are still $2.99. So
now I was gonna say they really come in handy. Yes, you can carry your comic book on a plane with you, but when I went on vacation, one of the best things was having comic books on my phone. I could just put in music, something really nice, soothing, read the books. Before I knew it, I was back where I wanted to be. So that's a big benefit of them having this digital code.
Oh, yeah. If I could, I'd love to get digital copies of all my books, but I'm not going to buy most of them twice.
Right. And that's the thing. So I think it's a good idea DC got going on here. Mm-hmm. But well, I was going to cover the first.
You want the first one? Okay.
The first one we have on our list is Superman 21. Superman Black Part 2. A Superman Reborn Aftermath tie-in. The Man of Steel is challenged to break his code against killing in front of his son as a mysterious surrounding Hamilton deepens. Ooh, boy, that don't sound like a Superman thing to do here. It's a little bit of New 52 one coming out.
Yeah.
Art done by Jamie Mendoza, Doug Mankey, written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
And it looks like they've actually changed the title of the story. Because as of Superman number 20, it was called Black Dawn number 1. Now they're calling it Superman Black part 2.
Either that or, you know,
the intern wasn't paying attention, one or the other.
Yeah, I was saying that might have happened there, because I'm looking like this at the one we just went over. That's dead on right for Black Dawn, so who knows. As you say, we need to talk to some of these secretaries.
Well, next up we got Superwoman number 9. And this one's called Superwoman part 1. In this story, tying into the Superman Reborn aftermath, Lois Lane and Lana Lang find themselves reunited at last. Along with the Man of Steel, their reunion is cut short by the return of Cannon and Saber, who arrive to wreak havoc on the newly restored Metropolis. The mantle of Superwoman will be decided in this debut chapter of Superwoman, as separate words. Art is done by Art Thibbett and Steven Segovia, and is written by Kay Perkins.
Nice. Next we have Trendy, issue number 8. A Superman Reborn Aftermath tie-in, another tie-in for Superman. In this essential chapter of the Superman Reborn Aftermath epic, Kal-El reveals to Batman and Wonder Woman that what had happened to him and how they all may be in danger. Art done by Ray McCarthy, Emmanuel Lupacino, and written by Lupacino. Thank you. And written by Kulan Bunn. Now, I was wondering, is this what he's going to tell them? Hey, that whole New 52 Superman guy that Wonder Woman was in love with, I have some of him in me, and I'm also that other Superman that was from another dimension that no one trusted.
I don't know
exactly what he's going to tell them, but I feel like that's going to have a big part of it.
Well, more than likely, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see the way they do it.
Yeah, this is a little bit of world-shattering information for all the characters of the DC Universe.
Well, the next one up, we got All-Star Batman number 9, Ends of the Earth finale. It all comes down to this. After months of searching, Batman has found the mastermind behind the blight sweeping the planet and must face off against one of his most dangerous villains in a battle of wills for the fate of the Earth. Art done by Afua Richardson and is written by Scott Snyder.
Now, with the All-Star Batman, those are just going to keep going on, aren't they?
Probably.
Okay. Well,
this is what it looks like. It's an actual ongoing title.
I was going to say, from DC's Rebirth, all the stuff that's come out, Batman All-Star has the best variant covers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, next on our list, we have Aquaman issue number 21, H2O part 3. Aquaman and Mira learn that the strange water they've been sent into to investigate is, in fact, a gateway to an alien world that is source of Arthur's recent troubles. The tension flares between Aquaman and his less than heroic teammates over whether they make a contact with this new world or destroy it. Art done by Felipe Bruns and written by Dan Abnett.
Okay.
I thought this was kind of weird for Aquaman himself to be tapping into another dimension like an alien world or any other world. So this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, usually he deals with just what's under the sea, doesn't it?
Right. So this is new.
Okay.
But this is comic books. Anything can happen.
Well, next up, we got Batwoman number 2. The Many Arms of Death part 2. The criminal haven of Coriana has changed completely in the years since Batwoman left. The biggest change of all? Her closest friends are now her enemies. Or their corpses. Or they are corpses. It's time for Kate Kane to cut to the heart of what's happening here and find out who brought the deadly bioweapon monster venom into Coriana. but she might get her own heart cut out of in the process by the unbeatable assassin known as the Knife. Art done by Steve Epting and written by James T. Tinney IV and Marguerite Bennett.
Now, next on our list is a book we've been waiting for since DC's Rebirth first came out.
Oh, yeah.
This is Batman issue number 21, and this is going to be the first part of The Button. This is The Button part one. The cataclysmic events of DC Universe's Rebirth issue number one continues here. The Dark Knight and the Fastest Man Alive are two greatest detectives on any world. Unite to explore the mystery behind this certain blood-stained smiley button embedded in the Batcave wall. What starts as a simple investigation turns deadly when the secrets of the button prove irresistible to an unwatchable third party.
Unwelcome
third party. Some different universe, I would say. And it is not who anyone suspects. It's a mystery woven through time, and ticking clock starts here. Now, they do say this one is going to be $3.99 in the U.S., but we all probably figured that since this is going to be a big crossover.
Well, no, the lenticular cover edition of it is $3.99.
Now, what's the difference between
the regular
that?
Cover is only $2.99.
Okay. You know, I'll spend an extra buck on that then. But art is done by Jason Fabruk and written by Tom King. Now, just to give you guys a little heads up here, every time we read these synopsis of the comic book that's coming out next week, they always give the main characters of who's starring in it. Now, here's a little, no one call it Easter egg, but here's a little hint of what we're going to expect in this book. They have Batman, of course, starring in here, The Flash starring in here, and it has a picture of The Watchmen also starring in here. So we might not just get one character. We might get a couple different ones from The Watchmen because of Smiley Button.
Okay. We'll find out starting next week.
Yep.
Next one after that, we get Deathstroke number 17, Twilight Part 6. All of the chips fall as dark secrets within Deathstroke's world are revealed, including Power Girl, who learns her houseguest's true identity. Determined to atone for her mistake, the 16-year-old takes on the world's deadliest assassin on her own. Will she bring Deathstroke to justice or die trying? Art done by Norm Rapmund and Joe Bennett, and it's written by Christopher Priest.
Sweet, sweet. Next on our list, we have Green Arrow issue number 21, The Rise of Star City Part 1. They killed Oliver Queen. They made him an outlaw. Now the Ninth Circle will gather its forces to destroy the hero's very soul. Buildings will topple, innocents will starve, disease will spread, and Seattle will die. The biggest Green Arrow story ever begins here. Art done by Juan Ferrer and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay. Next up, you get Green Lanterns number 21, The Green Impurity Finale. Pushed to the brink by Polaris, one of the two Earth Green Lanterns will have no choice but to use lethal force for the first time and take down their enemy permanently. Art done by Jay Listern and Eduardo Pansica. And it's written by Sam Humphreys.
Now, before I go into this too much, you read the Harley Quinn books. Was there a character that was named Harley Sin?
Yes.
Okay, because I was getting a little confused here. I'm thinking to myself, is this a typo? Okay.
She's like an assassin that looks kind of like Harley a little bit.
I'm going to have to look her up.
I've never read her in anything else except for just what's here, so I don't know any of her backstory or anything yet.
She might just be a new character because I never heard of her either. But next, guys, we have on our list Harley Quinn issue number 18. Deadly Sin Part 2, and this is probably where we get that sin tie-in here.
Mm-hmm.
How can Harley protect somebody who's vanished into witness protection? Unfortunately, Harley Sin has a lead that she doesn't. And in Harley Loves Joker Part 2, Harley tries to make it up to her puddin' after her colossal blunder. But the Joker's wrath is not so easily soothed. Art done by John Timms, written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palami.
Palmiotti. Okay. The backstory here where it says Harley Loves Joker Part 2, that is written, if I remember right, that's actually done by, backup story was written by, the backup art by Brett Blevins, and backup was written by Paul Dini and Jimmy Palmiotti. And that's actually a story straight out of the Batman animated series. So it's the animated series Joker and Harley.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like I said, I don't read the Harley Quinn books. You do. Now, when I was picking them up when DC's Rebirth first started, there was a couple of issues where they had a part two in each book, like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Is that a known? Is that like a normal thing for Harley Quinn's books?
Not usually. This is a since Rebirth started, this is one of the first times they've actually had back issues in it.
Okay. Well, they did for one. Well, no, that might have been. Was that the Suicide Squad when they went on Harley's backstory and she was talking to Joker and he really wasn't there? Or was that a Harley Quinn book?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I think that was Suicide Squad.
Okay, because they're known for doing that. I think all throughout Rebirth, that's all they've been doing is giving you a second story.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised they kept their books at $2.99 because of that. But okay. Well, that's Harley Quinn for you.
Okay, and the next one we got is Nightwing number 19. Nightwing Must Die, Part 4. As Dick's worst nightmares are realized, the demons of his past come to destroy his loved ones. He must face his own dark reflection. Let me go back and phrase that correctly. As Dick's worst nightmares are realized and the demons of his past come to destroy his loved ones, he must face his own dark reflection. He must face the Deathwing. Art done by Javier Fernandez, and it's written by Tim Seeley.
And next we have Justice League issue number 19, Timeless Finale. In this unbelievable conclusion, the Justice League reunite to discover they've been deceived. How can Earth's greatest heroes save the world when everything they know is wrong? Art done by Matt Ryan, Fernando Passarian, and written by Brian Hitch. I don't know. Like I said, I tried to buy the first two books of this Timeless Saga. Something about the Justice League is just really hard for me to get into. Right?
I had the first two, and I never picked up the third one.
See, I love their solo issues, but them together, you would think you would like it more, but I don't know.
Way that Brian Hitch writes, I'm not sure. It's not doing it for me.
Maybe. I don't know. But hopefully, before too long, we can get into something that they are putting out.
Yeah. Well, the opposite with Justice League of America, I'm loving.
Oh, yeah. That's the funny thing. It's like this is Justice League of America. Now, last time I seen Justice League of America for, New 52, I didn't like them as much, but it's kind of switched now. Maybe if they come together with some characters, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. But I can't wait for the next Justice League of America come out since you said that.
Yeah.
Lobo's killing in there, literally.
It's great to see Lobo on a monthly series. Or bi-weekly series. So, but the last
you got
book,
our last one. This
yeah,
is
the last
be
book
last
we have
this week.
Is Super Sons number 3. When I Grow Up, Part 3. It's Super Son versus Bat Son as the exciting new series continues. Kid Amazo is ready to rip the hearts out of the world's not-so-finest super duo. Face-to-face with their newest and first villain, Jonathan and Damian strike out the only way they know how, at each other. Art done by George Jimenez and written by Peter J. Tomasi. And that brings us to the end of the list for this week.
We got a long list.
Yeah, there's a lot of books coming out next week.
So we're going to go broke, I think.
Well, yeah.
Close enough.
Unfortunately, that's where some of the books I've not been reading is the fact that I really can't buy all of them. I wish I could.
Yeah, same here. I had to cut back, but I know I'm going to be getting this Batwoman, Batman, Super Sons, All-Star Batman and Superman. These Superman books have been killing it for me. I never thought I'd be this big of a fan of Superman, but Rebirth brought back to what we loved and what I started out with. So,
oh yeah,
good on that.
Well, for me, I have to have Lanterns. You got to have Harley Quinn. Like I said, for some reason, that's the big surprise of Rebirth for me. Harley has been killing it. It's hilarious. It's stupid funny sometimes.
See, that's why I just pick up my issue with Suicide Squad. I feel like her in there is enough for me, along with Captain Boomerang. Those two together, you got to have a good book.
Oh, yeah. So, and then remember Super Friends coming up in not only a couple of weeks now, a little over a month and a half, we actually have the next movie in the DC Cinematic Universe, Wonder Woman's coming. So, as we're ramping up for that, you're going to get more news about Wonder Woman. Justice League is right around the corner after that.
Man, that's coming up quick.
Oh, yeah. So, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they get a hold of us?
Guys, you can find us on our Instagram and our Facebook, DC Superpowers Podcast, and you can find us on our Twitter, @SuperpowersDC. For my personal usage on my social media, you can find me on Instagram, HowlinThatWolf, Twitter, BYellow, and Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also always email the show at DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us, we're members of the Tangent Bound Podcast at TangentBoundNetwork.com and the Weebie Geeks Network at WeebieGeeksPC.com. Now, head on over to Facebook. If you give us a like there and follow our page, anytime that we do Facebook Live, we didn't get a chance to do it this week, but the last 2 weeks before this, the issues are on there for issues 50 and 51. But anytime we go Facebook Live, we will let you guys know on Facebook before it happens so you can watch and hang out with us. So it's been great hanging out with the people we have, and hopefully you guys will check us out more as we do it. So, Vernon, do you have anything else for this week?
We'll have that Judas Contract review for you guys next week. Spoilers, so make sure you go watch it before you click on our link.
Oh, yeah. So, Vernon, I think that's the end of what I had, too. So, thanks for hanging out, man. And Super Friends, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, guys.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.